Hello, welcome and thank you for joining us and listening to our podcast, The God Beyond the Bible. Our podcast is released weekly each Friday. The content of each episode is based on the questions and curiosities we all have about God and the Bible. Many of our topics are considered taboo in the minds of the mainstream church. You will find our discussions to be, I think, refreshing and often far from traditional. But we don't just skirt around these complex issues, but confront them head on, and not in the way you're used to hearing them discussed on typical Christian talk shows. I'm Alan Rowland, creator and host of The God Beyond the Bible. As of the launch of this podcast, I've been a pastor for more than 35 years. My co-host is my daughter, Trayson, and our engineer co-producer is my daughter, Tabitha. Our mission is to encourage our audience, along with us, to open our minds to the reality that God is simply too big to be fully explored or experienced by the reading and studying of a single ancient work. In short, the Bible's not the sum of God, and to think this is to limit what He has done, is doing, and what He will do in our future. So with introductions made, thank you for listening, and let's dive into the topic of the day. And welcome, seekers, to the first new episode of God Beyond the Bible for the year 2020. Thanks for being patient with us while we took a badly needed break during the month of January, where we replayed five episodes from our first year of podcasting, which began just over a year ago in January 2019. How about shout-outs today, Trayson?
Yeah, our shout-outs are going to be to Mildred Padgett and Jesse Roberts that have both been listening.
All right, Mildred and Jesse. Kudos to you. And Trayson, while you're at it, why don't you take a few moments and give us a little bit of review of what the podcast has done, or a few stats from the last year or something like that. And also, sure. I want you to tell us why you chose those five episodes that you ran. And by the way, I didn't know what the last one was. I haven't listened to the one Friday. So, but anyway, give us a little update here.
Well, we were listened to over 3,500 times last year in over 50 countries.
Wow.
And I just wanted to give a shout out to our top five cities that listen, and that's Shirley, Arkansas, Marathon, Florida, Dallas, Texas, Mountain View, California, and Vancouver, Washington.
Awesome.
And our top five countries are, of course, the USA, Australia, Costa Rica, France, and Spain. And also to our top five listeners, which are Tawana, Kirk, Dolores, Lucy, and Leanne.
Oh, wow. Okay. Trayson keeps up with all of that. And so, Tabby, I'm just going to let you do our quote or illustration of the week if you want to.
Okay. The quote of the week is, "The things I benefit from, I had nothing to do with. And the things I do, I will benefit not." And that was author unknown.
Yeah, and I did that, and I hope the author's unknown, because I've heard that quote, and I may not be quoting exactly right. I wrote that down. I've heard that all my life. And I went to try to look to see... I couldn't find the origin. It's like, who are you talking to? What are you saying? That makes it... Anyway, I like that, though. The things I benefit from had nothing to do with. The things I do, I will benefit not. We ought to live life that way.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, on this episode, we're going to get a little spooky. We're going to talk about ghosts, apparitions, and spirit visitation. What are we to make of all the people who claim to have been visited by the spirit or ghost of a person who has died?
That's always a big question for me. So let's just go ahead with that and dive into segment one. We've kind of chosen a couple of stories of someone who claims to have been visited by the spirit of someone from the past. So,
all right.
Do you want to start with your story, Dad?
No, I don't matter. I just assume not. I've got a few ones that actually personal people that I've talked to personally, but you can go ahead.
I will go ahead with mine.
Okay. I don't think Tabitha has one with it right now. Tabitha says she doesn't believe in any of this.
Yeah. I'm skeptic. I'll just put it that way.
She said she couldn't find anything she found convincing.
Yes.
I don't think she looked.
She may not like my story.
Okay,
then.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, I guess I should start by saying that I'm a person who has memories of being really young. Mm-hmm. I can remember, you know, your mom when she passed away when I was two. Right. And not saying I have like clear memories of conversations, but I remember things.
Well, all we ever remember is moments anyway. We don't have memory. No. Someone told me, I don't want to get in the way of your deal. We don't really remember anything. We remember the last time we remembered it.
And that makes total sense.
Anyway, go ahead.
So are either of you familiar with the term shadow people?
Shadow people. Well, I don't know. I probably got an idea of what that's about.
Yeah,
go ahead.
They're just blacker than black. I mean, they're like a inky blackness in the dark that you can see, and you can see the form, but they don't have facial features. I saw them when I was younger. When I had the little blue bedroom that was beside the bathroom, I would see them almost every night in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't conscious of me. It wasn't like a scary sort of thing, but it was like they were going about their day-to-day life. I remember one of them had a suit. He always wore a suit. You could tell by the sleeve cuffs and stuff what it was. And he always had a glass with him. And there was this
other... It was Frank Sinatra.
It was.
I'm sorry.
Maybe all this time I had no idea.
Was he saying... Was he singing anything at 2 in the morning? Go ahead.
No, I'm not making fun of it.
Just go ahead.
So, Mom would sleep in my floor in that bedroom because I was sick a lot. Right. And I can remember she'd sleep down in the floor beside me. And this one night, I woke her up because I was trying to get her to hand me my glass of water. And when I woke up enough to realize what was going on and Mom spoke to me from the floor, I realized it was this shadow person that was holding my glass of water in both hands above my head.
Handed it to you? Yeah.
And I will have never forgot that in my life. And Tabby's over here laughing
I think it's cool to hear your story. And I know that you believe it's true. And I don't want to offend anyone.
Even if you are crazy.
Right.
But is there not a, you know, you were at that point in between consciousness and sleep. Mm-hmm. I'm being as honest as I can be. I'm not saying it's, and I'm not discrediting anyone's belief.
If you want to be technical, isn't everything we do all day at some point between consciousness and sleep?
That's true. That is true. I will give you that.
This is quite true.
Okay, go ahead.
But no, that's about all. When I moved out of that bedroom, I stopped seeing them, and I never saw them again that I can think
of. Was that
of.
In the old house or the...
That was in the red house.
Not in the mobile home. That was in the old house. Okay, yeah.
So, and technically, the old house was built... Was some of the lumber was from like an old hotel. Yeah, that's what I thought.
It was built out of an old hotel.
And of course, at your age, and the you
doors,
wouldn't have known that.
In fact, the doors on there were out of old hotel buildings. Okay. So that'd be pretty cool. That's pretty neat. I never even heard of that. You never told me that, Tracy. Is that all for you?
That's it.
Well, I've got a few that I want to do. And one is my grandma Little. She told me about when I was grown, but she told me about that. Of course, her husband, my grandpa, died when she left her with 9 kids when she was about 40 years old or something like that, or 35, 40 years old. And she said that he visited her, stood at the end of the bed. They held a conversation. Now, and I said, well, Grandma, was it a dream? She said, no, it wasn't a dream because I wasn't asleep. And she described he had on the clothes that he wore just like, and she showed me a picture just like in this picture right here. And we talked and all of that. And so, you know, my grandma's not one to make stuff up. Now, I guess she ever told a, just added anything to a story that I could ever remember when she told a story. Another one is a friend of mine named Gary. Shout out to Gary that listens to us a lot.
Yes.
And he told me the story about a dog that he had that had gotten killed by one of the neighbor's dogs. And he said, you know, he did everything he could do to, said it never, wasn't particularly, it was his wife's dog. He said it wasn't particularly my dog, but he said, you know, I cared about it. And he said, I tended to it for 2 or 3 hours and the dog went ahead and died. So he said, I went out and dug a hole to bury it and everything and did bury it and said, you know, the neighbor came by and gave me his condolences. In fact, the neighbor, I think, had his dog put down that actually killed his dog. So anyway, it was a long story there. But to make the story short, Gary said that really, you know, it kind of, he said, I don't know why it kind of tore me up. Said I was digging the grave out there, you know, and kind of crying, you know, while I was digging, the tears and stuff, digging, having to, you know, bury this animal. And after I'd done everything I could do to save it, and said about a week later, he said, I think he went to get up off his bed or something there, and said there was that dog there and said he was wagging his tail and just said he was there for a little bit and then said he disappeared. I never saw him again, but it's like almost, hey, I'm okay. Thanks for everything you did. I'm good. You know,
that one gave me chills.
Yeah, yeah. Gary. Well, here, Gary, too. And Gary's, Gary's wife. I won't use her name, but she's told me about her son. And after her son died tragically as a young man, and she was really troubled over it. And she wasn't on the bed or sitting on the bed or anything. She had gone to the cemetery to put flowers, as getting close to decoration, put flowers on his grave. And he visited her there from behind. And talked to her and asked her, said, Mom, why are you crying? And she said, because you're dead. And he said, I'm not dead.
Oh, wow.
And said she turned around and said it was him. She could tell it was him. I said it was just a glow. And wow. And I reckon he's visited her at least two or three times further away from the event. Mm-hmm. I think the last times that she's seen him, but just that. And I'll give you one. Trayson was talking about the shadow people. The reason I knew what you were talking about, a friend of ours has seen them in his house many times. In fact, I was going to try to get him to be here for this podcast, mm-hmm. but it just didn't work out where he could. And he said in the house that he's in that they've seen one particular time he said there were some people there working on his house. And this shadow just goes right in front of him across the wall, opens the front door, opens the storm door, closes the storm door as it goes out. And he said, I'm just standing there. And I said to this guy, did your son just go outside? He said, no, he's outside in the truck playing on his video game or something out there. And he said, so I look out and yeah, his son's out there and nobody is. And said, so, you know, there was just a shadow passes right yeah. in front of us and goes out the door.
There's something about whatever these, because I've read a lot of stories as I've gotten older about shadow people interactions. And they seem to really have no concern with communicating with people or anything. You know, they're not anyone, you know, it's almost like they're carrying on their lives mm-hmm. in another dimension.
So was he afraid when he saw
he's told me on many occasions he's actually open to this, and he's seen through his life, he's seen them since he was a kid. He said it just started out when he was a child, said mm-hmm. I see things other people don't see, and he said I know what I see. But, you know, he said, I don't talk about it because, well, you know, he's a good Christian guy. And he said, sure. Well, just, he said, there's just, I just don't talk about it. And, but he does see them all the time. And there's one more thing that I'll give. And it's just, sometimes it's just an eerie feeling. And you guys know the guy I'm talking about, but a gentleman that we all know, he passed away. I found him down in his barn, his barn here a few years ago. And, for the longest time, and I still don't really even like to go in the house where he was. And then for the longest time, I would go in that house. You know, I'd go check the house because his children lived a long ways off from here. And after he died, and it was just such a presence in that house. I hated to go in it. I'd go in, look around as quick as I could to make sure nothing was just, and I'd get out. It was just, and I'm not one of those creepy, eerie people that stuff like that, but sure. That house just creeped me out. I can't explain why. It just really creeped me out to go in there. In fact, I didn't like to go in there, but didn't bother me if somebody was with me.
Yeah.
You know, because I thought if he's going to jump on us, he'll jump on the hot dog.
Well, now I'm going to drag Tabby into this a little bit. You always had that really eerie feeling about the house we grew up in.
I did. But I always attributed that to the fact that Grandma was there, and that's where she passed, yeah, and I can remember that vividly. And that's my thing, and I want to be very clear. I am not saying that you guys 100% did not see what you saw, or you don't believe. I'm just saying that when it comes to it, if you know me, I'm a very logical person, yes, so I want to find an explanation for everything.
And that kind of closes us out on part one. That's really, that thought's going to take us into part two of this episode on, I guess, would you call it the paranormal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I hate to give it titles like that, though, because when you know, like we talked about, when you title something, label something, you've automatically put a stigma mm-hmm. with it. But okay. So with the groundwork laid for this episode on ghost apparitions and spirit visitation, we'll pause and return with part two of episode 53 of the podcast, God Beyond the Bible.
Okay, and welcome back, Seekers, to segment two of our podcast, God Beyond the Bible, a podcast made by Seekers and for Seekers. Today's episode is on ghosts and spirit visits. And in segment one, we heard a few examples of what we believe, most of us believe, to be a legitimate and convincing example of spirits somehow remaining and occupying a place or personal visitation to people from a deceased loved one.
And now that we've got Trayson going in the right direction, reading again, in this segment, let's discuss a controversial topic titled metaphysics. And the definition is, a layman's definition of metaphysics or metaphysical, what would go after that?
I don't know.
Of the metaphysical would be the belief in or the study of things, events, or experiences that are outside of our five physical human senses, which place it outside the typical scientific research methods.
Well, it's the latter part of that definition is what makes it such a controversial topic. The fact that the claims of people who have had these experiences is not provable by scientific research methods, Tabitha. So as science sometimes does, it does not accept the existence of anything it cannot physically prove, and that is, if it can't see it, touch it, hear it, smell it, or taste it, then it don't exist.
Okay, so what are some other areas of research that can kind of fall into this category?
Well, with the spirit world we're talking about, of course.
Near-death experiences. UFOs and aliens.
Yeah, Bigfoot.
Bigfoot, yeah. Why are you laughing when you say that? I do, but I believe he exists. I believe one of these days we'll find out that he does. I don't know. But the big one is, doesn't religion fall under metaphysical?
I think it could.
Not just it could, it does. It's not just could. Listen, folks.
There's no proof.
There's no, scientifically, then, that's right. Why science rejects religion as superstition.
And a lot of us may be surprised to learn that many of the things we know as scientific fact today were once classified as metaphysical.
Of course.
Especially in the realm of astronomy. Remember that Galileo was put under house arrest and forbidden to teach his then unprovable doctrine of the sun being the center of the universe, instead of the prevailing belief of that era that the earth was the center of the universe and that the sun actually revolved around us.
Right.
And it wasn't until 300 years later, when telescope technology improved, that Galileo's metaphysical theory was proven to be correct, at which time, with little comfort to Galileo himself, his name was cleared of heresy by the Catholic Church.
Right. But back to our topic today. How does a person who may have never had a similar experience to those examples we gave in segment one, like me, I have never had an experience like that, categorize or rationalize or make logic out of people who claim to have had such experiences?
Well, I don't know. How do you? They're always just asleep.
No, I mean, I think our minds are way more powerful than we give them credit for. And maybe our mind has an opening into the spirit world. I don't know. But I think that sometimes our minds can, I don't want to say play tricks on us, but yeah, that's kind of what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know how to word it.
I think though, if on the other side of that coin, if your mind is absolutely closed to it, you're never going to see it.
No.
I mean, that's true.
You're absolutely never going to experience anything that your mind is absolutely closed to, because you've already, I'm not saying that as derogatory toward Tabitha, because she just don't buy in because she's never had this experience. But remember, we've got to be very careful not to tell people they didn't experience what they experienced. That's what I've learned in life. Don't say, well, it just because I didn't experience that, you couldn't have experienced it. Because that's what's got us in trouble in the church world, and in the that's what's got us in trouble everywhere we go, because your experience is not my experience.
So
it must not
you
be
can
real.
Send us your stories and we'll print them out for Tabby. Yeah. We can make her a believer. Yeah.
Well, Tracen, are you seven?
And many people will just write it off as a lot of hooey. Tabby.
It might be members of the hoo-hoo.
Many of those in the study of psychology have concluded that most of these experiences are a type of hallucination that is usually triggered by grief and mourning over the loss of a loved one, as is often the case of people who encounter a recently deceased family and loved one. While this may be a psychological explanation in some of those cases, it does not explain why people encounter spirits of people they've never known or who may have lived centuries before them.
And I mean, I've watched some pretty convincing as people that are not just out there just wanting to have their 5 minutes or 15 minutes of fame, places that just some real mysterious things happen and it's just unexplained. I mean, I've known of people who have moved out of homes, not personally, but read their story. We had to leave that house. We could not live there. We couldn't live in that house. There's just stuff going on in that house that we could not live there. And I'm always interested in that, because, you know, if you go buy a house, you go out and you go to the trouble of buying a house and moving it, fixing it up, moving it, whatever you do, it's not going to be easy to run you out of that.
No.
You're not going to just on a whim say, well, all right, that's it,
well,
we're leaving.
Let me ask you this, Tabby. Since you're our antagonist for this episode.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the idea of echoes? anybody or dad, have you ever heard of an echo? In speaking of the metaphysical.
Well, you're talking hearing the voices of people?
It's essentially that every person is made of energy. Your spirit is made of energy. So let's say you grew up in this house. You know, it's multiple generations old. People have lived in this house for years and years. That the house sort of absorbs and is able to reflect some of that energy back. Mm-hmm. And so maybe you hear a distant voice. You see a shadow person, something like that, and it's just something that fades away as the energy begins
and especially in the cases a lot of times where it was a place where they find a lot where something really tragic happened, something really bad or terrible happened, and that energy seems to be there. Or maybe in the case, and maybe it was in the case of this friend that I knew in that house, that was such an important thing in their life, that their whole life revolved around that place, that deal.
Sure.
That they just left an energy there that took it a long time to the
But you guys don't believe that all energies are evil energy.
Well, I'm not saying any of these are evil.
No, sometimes
I'm not proclaiming any of this is evil. I don't think. I think are there evil spirits? Probably are. But as far as you know, there are people who encounter these people who seem to be malevolent.
Mm-hmm.
But the little things they do might be pushing things off of shelves, or you know, just aggravating things that they do. I'm not into the psycho and all of that stuff.
People too who move into a house of, say, maybe a grandmother that passed away, and they move into that house and they just feel really at home there, and they say they almost feel like she's still there with them. Would that not be the opposite of the malevolent energy of maybe there was
or more benevolent, not malevolent. Malevolent is menacing,
well,
isn't it?
She said the opposite of.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading when you said that, and I thought you said malevolent. I apologize to Trayson once again for jumping in there.
It's on you.
Is it on me? Why do you think it is that while many believers have these experiences, now I'm talking about believers, people in church, you know, whatever, they fear talking openly about their experiences?
Well, I think one, and maybe this is part of my problem, when you grow up and you start talking about seeing things and that, we automatically want to label them as demons or something evil.
Or you have a mental illness. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, that's
maybe
part.
Maybe you need the...
But, you know, I've always been taught, not necessarily taught, but ingrained in me through the church that it's something to fear. That if it hasn't crossed over into heaven, then it must be some kind of demon left here to roam the earth. And I'm just being honest. I mean, that's...
And, well, as we've already indicated, religion itself also falls under the category of metaphysical.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talk about a lot of strange stuff. You know, we talk about the Holy Ghost. We talk about, I mean, we, if you think about it, we're really
comfortable. Jesus died and he rose from the dead and walked the earth.
We're really comfortable talking about what people unfamiliar with Christianity find really weird. And we just talk about it like it's common.
But when
we talk about these other things, oh, that's just too weird for me. If you think about it, we teach some pretty weird stuff.
You're right. I mean, you are.
But anyway.
And like Trayson was talking earlier, some people think that since we are an energy force, that there is a life force or a spirit energy that each of us leaves behind that lingers for a period of time and slowly fades. That would be like the echoes you were talking about. However, this does not explain those cases where the spirit of someone who lived decades or centuries ago seemed to remain in a particular place and they don't leave, or the energy doesn't leave.
And I'll say, of course, Tabitha said it's Photoshop, but my brother-in-law showed me a picture of one that he had taken in this place in Savannah, Georgia, you know, because he likes to go to those places, and he's open to it. And he told me, I mean, I was telling you his story. He took 14 shots, he said, just click, 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 click in this room that's supposed to be. And when he got home going through the pictures, he showed it to me. First, said, here's the picture I took, and he showed it to me, and I said, well, I see something that looks like a little fog or something. He said, let me hold it where it won't flip and let me turn it upside down for you. And he turned the photo on his phone upside down, and I could see a guy sitting at the bar.
That's wild.
It was just a mist, but I could see a guy clearly sitting at the bar with his back.
And I could go
it was
really into the hoo-hoo on some of this, Tabby. Yeah.
Order of the hoo-hoo. Order of the
hoo-hoo.
Royal order, Don.
There are also people who believe that we live in stacked dimensions, that, you know, every choice you make, I'm going to try and dumb this down, like, as low as I can.
Put it on my level. Thank you.
Well, no, I have trouble even processing it. Yeah. So trying to put it in words is really hard. So if any of you are more educated than me, I apologize for how this is going to sound, is what I'm saying. So they believe that, say you have a stack of CDs.
Uh-huh.
You start out your life as one CD. But when you make a choice to do something or not do something, you create an alternate universe where you make the opposite choice.
So you stack another CD on top of that.
So you stack another CD next to it. Now, by the end of your life, you have maybe 2,000 or 3,000 of these CDs stacked side by side. And they believe that at some point, maybe you can see a little bit of that other dimension that's going on.
Huh.
Well, so, that's what I'm talking about. I believe in parallel dimensions.
Yes.
I believe everything's parallel. I think the angelic world is a parallel dimension that we're just, I think there's many. And if there could be one, why can't there be
thousands, millions?
Yeah, many, many parallel dimensions that are operating and going on right just like we're going on right now.
And with that question, I think we better go ahead and pause, regroup, and return with part 3 of episode 53 of God Beyond the Bible.
As you know, today's topic is one of the many topics categorized by researchers and scientists as metaphysical. And that topic is the paranormal activity of spirits or ghosts of people past who seem to somehow remain here in this dimension and in various ways reveal themselves to our reality.
Okay, here's a question. Do we have any examples in the collection of works we call the Bible to support this idea of being visited by deceased spirits?
Do we, Tracen?
Actually, if you think about it, we really do. But unfortunately, because Christianity seems to place such a stigma on this concept, the examples are often overlooked or never even openly discussed.
Well, the first example we'd like to look at is not one of an actual spirit visit, but simply the readiness of the New Testament, early New Testament church, along with the disciples, to embrace the possibility of spirit visitation.
And once again, we can thank Dr. Luke for giving us this little clue into what the mindset of the early believers was concerning spirit visitation. And this is found in Acts chapter 12. But first, we're going to give you a little bit of the backstory. The first part of Acts chapter 12 tells us that King Herod Agrippa was carrying out a campaign to persecute the early believers. He had just put James, the brother of John, to death by the sword, and this action pleased the Jews so much, they also arrested Peter, obviously planning to put him to death also. He may have refrained from putting Peter to death immediately because, as Luke tells us, the Passover celebration was in full swing, so executions would be prohibited during that period.
And we're told that Peter was fast asleep in the prison, chained between two soldiers, and with guards posted outside the prison gates for extra security. I mean, this was like super max.
Super max, yeah. Yeah.
As the story goes, the angel of the Lord woke Peter up, the chains binding him to the guards fell off, and the angel escorted Peter out of the prison by means of the gates miraculously swinging open. Once Peter was free and in the street, the angel left him, and Peter went to the house where the disciples and other believers were gathered praying for Peter.
Now, this is where we pick up the story in the Bible. I'm going to pick it up in Acts chapter 12, verse 12, and read from there. It reads like this. When Peter realized that he was actually free from prison and not dreaming like he first thought, like Tabitha first thought he was, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. Peter knocked at the door, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, "Peter is standing at the door." "You're out of your mind," they said. When she persisted, they decided it must be his spirit. Some translations read, they thought it was his angel, or it must be his angel. As the story continues, they finally open the door and discover that it isn't Peter's spirit, but it's Peter himself knocking at the door.
And can you imagine Peter's annoyance during all of this?
Yeah.
I just can't imagine how he was asleep awaiting execution.
I know.
Chained between two other people.
That's...
In a cold, dark cell. Anyway.
Okay, but the thing we want to take away, our takeaway here, is that the early disciples and believers were ready to embrace the idea that Peter had probably been executed and his spirit came to visit them at Mary's home. What might this tell us of how this, of how they saw the spirit world?
Well, they were open to
the
idea. They must have been.
They were very open, obviously, to the idea, because if someone would have said, it might be, you know, there wasn't any of that. It's like, yeah, that's probably what it is.
Well, and another example we might use is the event commonly known as the Mount of Transfiguration. This is where Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to Mount Zion, where they encountered the spirits, if you will, of Moses and Elijah, and Jesus himself was transformed into what might be perceived as a spirit himself.
And what of Jesus himself, who after being crucified was encountered many times before he ascended to heaven? One occasion was the upper room where the disciples were gathered with all the doors and windows closed, and Jesus literally materialized out of the air.
Mm-hmm. Or perhaps when he encountered and walked along with the two people on the road to Emmaus, where on this occasion he entered their home and ate with them.
Or when he appeared to the disciples who had gone fishing and advised them to cast their nets on the other side of the boat, filling their nets to the point of breaking, which again he ate fish and bread with them on the beach.
Now, while some may argue that these instances of Jesus' spiritual materialization was limited to the 40 or so day period between his resurrection and ascension, how do we account for his visitation to Paul on the road to Damascus, which took place well after the ascension?
Yeah. And one might add to this list of paranormal phenomenon the fact that Jesus said that John the Baptist was Elijah, and that was a topic that we discussed in our episode on reincarnation.
Right. Now, I think Jesus' words, if you will accept it.
Mm-hmm. And before we conclude, I wanted to add one to it that you didn't.
Okay.
What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?
Well, in...
Where they saw the fourth person in the
fire. Well, actually, the king saw the fourth person in the fire, didn't he?
Yeah.
And said, and then stated, he looks like it's the Son of God.
And we call it an angel or whatever, but if angels aren't spiritual beings, I don't know what the definition
is. What spirit beings are, Are we ready to conclude?
I think we are.
So, what do you think? Will we someday have conclusive scientific evidence of spirits or ghosts of people who have died remaining here in this realm? Now, this kind of discovery will probably only be made when science relaxes its approach to what makes something real. Then, perhaps, many of the mysteries that are now categorized as metaphysical will become the focus of true acceptance in scientific research. But until then, let us strive not to be one of those people who are so quick to dismiss the experiences of others as hoaxes simply because we haven't had the same experience ourselves.
And as always, may God's grace, peace, and love be on each of you, our fellow seekers, as we go into and throughout this new decade, beginning with this year of 2020. And that wish is from all of us here at God Beyond the Bible.
Did you enjoy listening to God Beyond the Bible? Do you have an idea for an episode? Connect with us today. Visit our website at godbeyondthebible.com, all one word, or send us an email at email@godbeyondthebible.com, or you can visit us on Facebook. Just type God Beyond the Bible into the search bar.